In the Star Trek film First Contact, humanity is threatened by an ominous alien collective that call themselves the Borg. They are cyborgs, beings that operate in a fusion of organic matter and artificial technology. They appear human, but with mechanical arms or legs, enhanced vision or hearing, and weaponry built right into their bodies. When the Borg conquer another species, every being is forcibly assimilated into the Borg consciousness and loses its distinct identity. When the Borg threaten Earth, Captain Jean-Luc Picard and the crew of the Enterprise stand between the Borg and the extinction of the human race. In particular, the android officer named Data plays a vital role in the Borg's defeat. But first, he faces temptation from the enemy queen. She offers Data the one thing he has sought for years, the opportunity to experience the full range of human emotion. Once the Borg are defeated, Data remarks, "For a time, I was tempted by her offer." Captain Picard asks him, "How long a time?" Data replies, 0.68 seconds, sir." For an android, that is nearly an eternity. Would that we could resist temptation so completely in such a short amount of time. If we could, perhaps Jesus would not have needed to give this sermon, which seems to set impossibly high standards for his followers. "You have heard it said, do not murder, but I say to you, do not be angry, and do not call anyone a fool." Clearly, Jesus never sat through a Super Bowl game. Jesus is looking deep here, past our actions and into our hearts. And in our hearts, we probably are tempted to be angry and to call people names for more than 0.68 seconds. I also think it's a little confusing to hear Jesus say, "Do not be angry," when later in this same gospel, Jesus himself, in a fit of anger, will overturn the money changers' tables in the temple and will call the Pharisees, well, maybe not fools, but two-faced hypocrites, snakes, and vipers. Maybe that's why some suggest this section of teaching is all hyperbole, exaggeration, which certainly grabs our attention, though we may wonder at its applicability. Now, I think we can all agree that adultery, a violation of the marriage covenant, is unacceptable. Jesus even says violation of the marriage covenant can be grounds for divorce. But again, Jesus says, look deep into your heart. Looking at a woman lustfully is wrong. And then there's that hyperbole again. If your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. If we did that every time we felt temptation, well, you know where that's going. And even so, I am not convinced that the loss of sight or even of a hand would protect our hearts from future temptation. I'm going to have to look at this teaching differently if I'm going to find good news for us in this passage. What I suggest to you is that we examine Jesus' words in the history of God's people and their covenantal relationships with God and with one another. Covenant relationship with God goes all the way back to the very beginning of Scripture, to the way the author of Genesis describes the dawn of creation. In the beginning, God created all things. God created human beings in God's image. God gave human beings the stewardship responsibility for the earth. And also, God went on to make covenants with Noah and Abraham and the people of Israel and King David. God promised Noah the rainbow after the storm would mean God would never again destroy the earth by flood. God promised Abraham and his descendants that God would always provide for them in response to their dedication to God. At Mount Sinai, after liberating the people from slavery in Egypt, God promised to be Israel's protector. And the people promised their faithfulness in return. And God promised to King David that a son of his lineage would always rule God's people. God made promises and was faithful to keep them, and in spite of that, God's people forgot. They were tempted by the allure of their powerful neighbors, the panoply of gods and goddesses. The prophets called the people to account for forsaking their covenantal relationship with God and chasing after relationships with other nations and other gods. Ezekiel, Hosea, and Jeremiah applied the words adultery and prostitution to the behavior of the people and their kings. And yet, God stayed faithful. God didn't seek a divorce from these people. God waited patiently with arms wide open and paved the way for restoration. And Isaiah and Jeremiah predicted Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus came to be just that, God with us, in spite of ourselves. Jesus, who shows us the grace of God and how to find forgiveness and how to make amends. Jesus, who preaches to us, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. And so when Jesus gives this sermon with these very high expectations that we would not break our covenant with God, even in our hearts, Jesus knows our history. Jesus knows that the Ten Commandments and 613 laws contained in the Hebrew Scriptures and the experience of the exile were not enough for God's people to resist temptation. Jesus knows that on our own we cannot stay faithful. We will get angry, and we will say hurtful things to one another, and we will break our covenants. And later in this Gospel of Matthew's, we will hear his disciples ask, well, Lord, then who can be saved? And Jesus will reply, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. We cannot rely on ourselves to keep ourselves out of trouble. We lean on the grace of God, the love and the forgiveness of God. We have to seek it, and we have to apply it to our lives, because our covenant relationship with God is only half of the story. Our covenant relationship with one another, as we bear the image of God in the world, as we steward God's creation, that relationship must also be tended to. And that is really what these words from Jesus are about, our relationships with one another. The commandment against murder also includes those things that impact the lives and the livelihoods of others. Do not murder can also mean do not deplete the water resources of people who dwell in desert climates. Do not murder can also mean we have the responsibility to fix the broken system contaminating water in the city of Flint, Michigan. It could also mean, by whatever means necessary, end the war in Ukraine. It could also mean, by whatever means available, get aid to the people in Turkey and the people in Syria. However we do it, we are called to not give in to anger, to not use hurtful names. We are called to settle arguments and resolve conflicts, to keep our covenants, to be truthful in speech, to be salt, to be light, to be peacemakers. Perhaps the shorthand for that is integrity. Storyteller, teacher, and author Brené Brown says, integrity is choosing courage over comfort, choosing what is right over what is fun, fast, or easy. Choosing to practice our values rather than simply professing them. That is the way to live, truly live as God's people in the world, as those who bear the light of Christ, as those who embrace the kingdom of God that has come near to us all. We lean into God's grace because we know we won't always get it right, but we're called to try. Amen.